Welcome to KXRW's Authenticity Matters, where we examine how to live more intentional, fulfilling lives by truly being ourselves. In each episode, we will talk to guests who've transformed their lives, organizations, and the community through authentic and intentional actions. I'm your host, Jen Coyne. Welcome to episode 28 of Authenticity Matters. One benefit of this show is getting to learn from folks who are forging their own paths. This month's guest is an amazing example of breaking new ground and being a role model of authenticity as she does it. I'm welcoming Evelyn Magley to Authenticity Matters this month. Evelyn is the CEO of the Basketball League and is distinguished as the first woman in the world to own a professional men's sports league. Her journey and advice is an inspiration, and I can't wait to share it with you, so let's dive right in. I am really delighted and excited to talk and find out about your journey.
Well, I would like to say, Ms. Jennifer, thank you so much. And it's an honor and a privilege to be on your show today to be able to share the journey of TBL and to let people know really what we're about and how we want to impact lives across the United States and beyond.
Yeah. I found out about Evelyn recently. We were covering for KXRW the Vancouver Volcanoes press conference about, you know, the announcement about the league starting up. So we locally here have a team that everyone should go out and see when the new season starts up. I'm really excited to talk about that as well. But first, I want to hear more about your life journey and your path. So where did you grow up? Like, what was your earlier life like?
Well, Jennifer, I grew up in Kansas City, Kansas, in a little place called Rosedale, which we in Wyandotte County, which we call the Dot. I grew up with one sibling, an older sister, 2 years older than me, and my parents, who are still married. Imagine that.
Yeah.
For 70 years.
Wow.
My father's 90 years old now, and my mother will turn 90 on August 27th.
Amazing.
So it's just, I had both parents that were there that were very loving, that raised me in a way to, number one, love and respect God, love and respect others and the community. And so my background was watching them. They worked and were over the youth department at our church.
Okay.
They did all these really cool things with youth and, you know, in particular, African-American youth that did not necessarily even at that time have a lot of the privileges and opportunities that most Americans had. They took them horseback riding and bowling, and we had cookouts and all types of things that took them to museums and Nelson Art Gallery there in Kansas City, Missouri. And we had one day where we could actually go to the fair. Black people could go to the fair.
Wow.
We would take the whole youth department out on that one day where it was Colored People's Day.
Oh my gosh. Isn't it amazing that that is like in our lifetime, all of this stuff?
Go to the fair. Oh my goodness. This is so exciting. But so I saw my parents living in a world where they weren't all inclusive to be accepted, and yet they overcame and showed us how to be in a world that was not necessarily very accepting, and showed us how to push through and how to love people for people, regardless of what they felt about us. And then to always to work and be the best that you could be at whatever you did.
Evelyn's father had a background in the military, serving in the Korean War. Later, he had a career in medicine. Her mother, too, was in medicine as a nurse at the University of Kansas Medical Center, including being a surgical nurse as well as training other nurses. Evelyn learned from her parents to be disciplined and organized, and grew up with a solid foundation of a belief system and knowing who she was. Having that background helped her early on to stand up for what she believed in.
I was in high school and I was told by one of my counselors, pulled me in the office and had a discussion with me. She told me, I just want you to know that you're not college material. But I knew that I was going to go to college. My parents had taken me up to the University of Kansas, driven me through their grounds. And I just thought, oh my goodness, it's so beautiful. We had gone to see where my cousins had gone to MU, and we had been on that campus. So my parents had exposed me to education and how cool it would be to go to college or go to a university. So when this counselor told me, you're not material, go to college, I looked at her and said, excuse me,
wow.
I am really going to college. And I did. And I went to the University of Kansas. And not only did I graduate with one degree, I graduated with two, one in music education and one in music therapy. And I graduated with honors. It's just I think about things like that impacted me. Someone trying to tell me I wasn't good enough.
Yeah.
And so that's a part of, I think, what will make and what is making the basketball league different, because I want these young men to know that the sky is the limit. They can do anything when they put their mind to it.
That's fantastic. It was very bold and courageous of you at the time, I bet, to do that.
There were no options. I was going. Her two or three words that she told me was not going to stop me.
That's great.
I think about it. I looked at her the other day in my yearbook and I thought, wow, you have no idea how much you encouraged me that day when you tried to discourage me.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes that adversity is a challenge to rise up. I've definitely had those experiences. So you had music therapy and music
education. Music therapy, you use music as a tool to teach other skills. In music education, you teach music as a skill.
Yeah. Okay.
It's, for example, if you have an individual that may have maybe some anger management issues and music, want to use music therapy with them, you would put them on drums. Whenever they would feel very upset, you'd tell them to go and just play drums. And it doesn't matter how well they play. Right. It just matters that they are using a source to appropriately display their emotions and their putting it in a positive light versus punching a hole in a wall or in someone's face. So there are different things that you can do using music.
Absolutely. And I love that. And part of, I was telling you before a little bit about, I started this company and we do organizational development stuff. And one of the things we have is a program about organizational development through the arts. And so the arts could be music, it could be performance, it could be just drawing, whatever it is. And we actually produced a thing called Lessons for the Jazz Ensemble, where we partnered with...
I love jazz. You said the right word.
And one of the jazz septets in town, Mel Brown, we partnered with him and his septet, and we talked, we actually produced and wrote the whole thing together of like, what are the lessons that leaders can learn from jazz and from how a jazz ensemble works together, you know, collaboratively to make magic happen. So it was, those are the kinds of things I love where you can take that, use the arts and learn from that.
And jazz is an American art form. Mm-hmm. It's one of the few things that was actually in music developed here in the States. It's a cross between West African music and classical music. And it's amazing how the two came together to develop that art form that brought so many races together.
Yeah.
Time of much separation.
Yeah. So I'll send you a little link to what we did just so you can check it out. Yeah. And so I love that. And so where did that background around music take you after school?
Well, in school, I started with the violin, basically. When I was in grade school, and then I took from the Conservatory of Music, and I played all the way through high school and then into college. There I played with the symphony orchestra, and from there I have a degree in music education, and so I started teaching many years after I had started having our family. And I started teaching at a school, Bradenton Christian School, in Florida.
Okay.
We had about 8 students in the high school program. And in the high school music program, should I say. And after teaching there for several years, about 4 years, we ended up having 85% of the entire school was involved in the music program, and they built a $3.7 million facility for music and the fine arts because the program had grown so much. I love teaching.
Wow. I would say also, like, you know how to build organizations and programs is what I'm hearing.
Well, when you have over 300 students that you're taking on tour with music, some people say noisemaker with their instruments, music stands and music, and you're carrying them across several states, you have to be organized.
Yeah.
You have to have a foundation. You have to have procedures and policies, and you have to have a curriculum. And all of those things are very important to the success of those students, both when they're performing and when they're not performing.
Yeah.
And to understand that the discipline that it takes to play that instrument, when it goes into other aspects of their lives, it will help to maintain that person and help to keep them stable, regardless of what they run into in life, because they can see how the music and the discipline keeps them going.
Mm-hmm. My guest today is Evelyn Magley, CEO and owner of the Basketball League. We've been talking about her earlier years and the foundation she had to living an authentic life focusing on community and service. When we come back, we'll learn about the path from music educator to leader in basketball. You're listening to Authenticity Matters on KXRW 99.9 FM and X-Ray FM 107.1.
Community radio like this is brought to you by the generous support by our founding sponsors at ADCO Commercial Printing and Graphics, Clark County's local print shop since 1993. ADCO features stationery, posters, flyers, tickets, business cards, stickers, catalogs, and much more. Print on anything and mail anywhere. Learn more at ADCO1.com. That's ADCO, the number 1.com.
The 18th Annual Vancouver Peace and Justice Fair is coming up Saturday, September 11th, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. at Esther Short Park. The Vancouver Peace and Justice Fair will showcase individuals, social justice groups, peace organizations, faith communities, performers, artists, businesses, and environmental activists who are making the world a better place. There will be many new activities, exhibitors, and sponsors, as well as returning favorites. More information and volunteer opportunities available at VancouverPeaceAndJusticeFair.org.
Welcome back to Authenticity Matters on KXRW 99.9 FM and X-Ray FM. I'm Jen Coyne, and I'm speaking today to Evelyn Magley, the first woman to own a men's professional sports league. Let's move on now to hear how Evelyn moved from music teacher and program builder to owning the basketball league, and why it's different from other sports franchises. So I have to ask then, to leap forward, how do you go from all this training in music, from a performance standpoint, education, et cetera, what is the connection to basketball?
Well, let's see. There's a connection with basketball in that in high school, they had a girls' track team. In my senior year, I think it was because of Title IX, they had to have a girls' basketball team. I wanted to be on that team, but I couldn't because I had to practice my violin. There's the first connection.
Yeah.
I had the best shooting arm because I played the violin. So guys would pick me because I could literally stand at half court and shoot it and make it every time because the arms were so strong. From playing that violin.
People don't think about that, what it takes to have your arm up like that so long.
Hours and hours and hours. So I had the strongest arm. Now you give me an open layup, I'd miss it every time. But I tell you, I could shoot it from <forever. laughs> But it goes back to that because I had a passion for wanting to play and I never got to.
Mm-hmm.
So from there, going into college, I met my husband and he played basketball and he used to have me rebound for him all the time. And then he told me, well, you know, we're going to get married, but before we get married, you have to make so many free throws. Straight. I'm like, what?
That's a weird criteria for marrying you, but okay.
But I met my husband in college and my soulmate. And from there, he just loved basketball, literally played every day. And other than me, I think it's the first love of his life. Really. And so from there, he played at the University of Kansas under Ted Owens, and then was drafted by the Cleveland Cavaliers, 28th pick. And we started our life moving around with him with basketball. And from there, fast forward, i.e. children, we had our first child play tennis, but the other three played basketball. And so basketball became a part of my life.
Mm-hmm.
From seeing the different things that my husband experienced, both in college and then in the pros, and then seeing it hands-on from our youngest child who started in Biddy basketball when he was 3 years old in Lawrence, Kansas. Seeing all of the ups and downs of being an athlete and watching and seeing how people treated my husband when he was in college and how they treated him when he was a pro. Watching my children and how coaches would treat them.
Mm.
And trying to see, wow, you know, does anybody really recognize that they're people?
Right. No, that's exactly where I was going to go with it, is that
so caught up in this win, win, win. Does anybody see that they're dealing with a person?
Evelyn gained so much insight into the experience of players, coaches, and league management through her husband Dave Magley's experience. After being in the NBA, Dave played in the Continental Basketball Association and then pursued a coaching career. In 2015, he became the commissioner of the National Basketball League of Canada. In 2017, he became president and chief operating officer of the North American Premier Basketball League. After a turbulent experience with the NAPD, Evelyn sought guidance for a better path for them, and she found it in her faith. I'd be like mountains bountiful, and if I were the sky so high, I'd be like wind invincible,
and if I could be a seed, I would give birth. Watching him go through a really hard time and me just being very upset about what he was going through. And I went into the bathroom to have some little quiet time and a cry so he couldn't see me crying because I was so upset. And it was at that moment when I was crying out to God, you know, what should we do? That he spoke into my life and said, start your own league. He said, number one, why are you crying? If you trust me, why are you crying? And do you trust me? And I'm like, wow, that's true. If I say I'm a believer and yet I'm in here on the ground crying about my husband's failed attempt at trying to do something special, you know, then I should trust God. And then he spoke into my life and said, then start your own league. And that's when the basketball league was literally started. It's a God-given vision. It is a vision that is based very simple on using basketball as a tool to show the love of God. Just to go out into communities and show his love in the way we treat each other, in the way we treat the players, and seeing people as being whole people. And then taking those young men and using their stardom to be more than just trying to get a girl.
Yeah.
Really to see yourself as a full person and then go out and impact other lives while you're doing what you love.
Right.
And that's the difference. That's what makes us a different league. We're basically community-based. We're not about the players, you know, coming in like a Stephon Curry. I love Stephon Curry, and this is not a dig against him, but it's a different thought process of signing a shoe and giving it to a kid and they run off. They don't see you again versus being right there in that community, accessible to work with those young people, do youth clinics, work with the Habitat for Humanity, work with the homeless, go out and work with nonprofit organizations, deliver groceries during a pandemic to people get out. There's more to you than just that basketball and the court. Right.
So, and that's, you know, I think some of that is becoming even more of a national conversation or an international conversation after the Olympics, right? And what Simone Biles went through, you know, as far as mental health considerations, you know, it's been a factor in tennis, you know, seeing people like, hey, you know, we're whole people in good and bad, you know, like challenge, everyone has challenges. Right. And, you know, we're not just performative, like push you out there, go do it regardless, you know?
People have made athletes, so to speak, heroes, you know, put on your cape and fly, for crying out loud. Stop complaining. You don't have issues. Just put that cape on and fly. And, they have to understand that there's people are dealing with things off the court too.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes people like, oh, I'm not going into work today. It's a mental health day. I think I'm just going to take the day off. Well, when you've got a big game that's coming up, hey, I need a mental health day today. Look at certain people that tried that in the NBA and they thought they were crazy. What was his name? Rodney.
Oh yeah.
It's Rodman.
Yeah, Dennis Rodman.
Said, look, I need to take a day off. They were like, what? You were where? What? But you know, it's like, yeah, people forget. And so what we want to do is allow these young men to really see themselves, because some of them have bought into that.
Right. And
they don't recognize. And now the veil is coming down and they're starting to say, hey, this is a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think of Simone. I mean, does anybody recognize that this child was defiled?
Mm-hmm.
Is anybody giving her a time to, I mean, in that she doesn't know if the next question out of someone's interviewing her mouth is going to be, how'd you feel about it when that doctor, I mean,
yeah, seriously. Right. Like they don't understand the trauma.
And being on the other side of that, wondering, am I going to make it through this interview without somebody asking me something crazy that's going to take me to that place of no return for me?
Right.
These are all things that need to be considered, and hopefully we're sensitive to that. That's why we have a chaplain's program that's required, that each team has a chaplain. And it's not for religious reasons. Some people hear chaplain and they think, oh, we're trying to convert everybody into what she believes.
Right. No,
the chaplain is there to be a safe place so that they can have someone to articulate their feelings and emotions to, that can hold those things in confidentiality.
So that's a great resource for them. Yeah. So I want to come back in a little bit to all of the amazing resources and things, community-based connections you're building that make it the hashtag a different league with the TBL. But I want to delve into a little bit around authenticity, and it kind of connects to what you were just talking about these people, you know, folks that are athletes, they're whole people, just like the rest of us, regular people, regardless of what we do, are whole people. How do you define an authentic life? I guess is my first question. How do you define authenticity?
Authenticity for me is, number one, knowing who I am and knowing whose I am.
Mm.
And staying true to that. There are things that happen even as I'm building the basketball league, that people try to draw you a certain direction.
Mm.
What's authentic to me is that I do trust in God. Why do I have to deny that? I'm trying to.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, what, when did this happen in the United States that, you know, in order for me to have a league, people don't want to even know? And it's not that I'm trying to make anyone believe like me, but to be authentic means that I have to be true to who I am.
Yeah.
And so I do believe. And if some people don't like that, that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
I believe what I believe, but that's what I believe. And, you know, sometimes I'm going to talk about that and what I believe when people ask me. I'm not going to try to jam it down anybody's throat or anything, right. But to not be able to say that I believe for me is to not be authentic for me. So, you know, I think being authentic means to be true to who you are and to whose you are, mm-hmm. if that's what you believe in. And just to be honest.
Yeah. Do you think that authenticity requires a certain amount of privilege? You know, if you're not in the dominant position, it's difficult to rise up and to challenge that. And I think you've touched on it, but.
Well, I tell you, when you're walking around in brown skin and you're a woman, what else can I be?
Right.
I'm happy with who I am.
Yeah.
I'm happy that I have brown skin. I'm happy that I'm a woman. And I'm authentic to that. To walk into a room and try to be anything else, I think would be like humorous.
So yeah.
I think for me, I am going to be authentic. It's other people that may not be happy that I'm walking in the room with brown skin and I'm a woman. Mm-hmm. That's not my issue.
Right.
So I'm going to be authentically me. Sorry if you have a problem with that.
Yeah. Sorry, not sorry, right?
I'm not trying to change it.
Yeah.
Comfortable. And I do believe that now that you're going really got deep on me now. I think, you know, there is a part of me that wonders if people are being authentic with me.
Yeah.
Because what I have and who I am is very obvious. But sometimes on the other side of that, you don't always know if those people are being authentic, if they're just smiling at you just to be nice. They say they want to invest in, we're all about the basketball league. Are you really? Mm-hmm. Are you saying that? So it's hard to tell. So because I'm not able to control other people, the only person that I can control is myself.
Yeah.
So I try to be true to who I am, have integrity, be upfront with people, and sometimes they don't like it. But at least I'm telling them the truth.
Right.
So, yeah, that's not something that I can control from the other side, but I can control me. And with the life that I've led and watching my parents navigate in a world where they weren't accepted, mm-hmm. I have learned how to navigate into that world and be authentically me.
Love it.
I watch my parents. Mm-hmm. They're the same person at home as they were when they were in front of other people.
Yeah.
We've been digging deep into the complexities of authenticity with the Basketball League CEO, Evelyn Magley. When we come back, we talk about having the right mindset to achieve your goals. And we get even deeper in talking about finding your purpose and the unique opportunity we have to do great things at this unique point in time. This is Authenticity Matters on KXRW 99.9 and X-Ray 107.1 FM.
KXRW would like to thank Craft Cannabis, our exclusive cannabis sponsor, for supporting our radio community. Their wide variety of products range from edibles, pre-rolls, concentrates, vapes, CBD topicals, tinctures, and much more. Craft Cannabis for 21 and over now has two locations in Vancouver. The newest shop is on Andreessen Road off Patton Parkway next to Home Depot. The Mill Plain location is in the Heights Shopping Center. Ordering options include online, in-person, curbside, and express window touchless pickup to better serve you. Hours and more information available at craftcannabis.com. In times like these, it's important to amplify the good stuff. Give More 24 is your chance to do just that. It's Southwest Washington's largest day of giving, and it all kicks off on September 23rd. That's the day that our region comes together to give more. Matching gifts and nonprofit prizes will make giving go further, and it all unfolds online at givemore24.org. That's where you can find, support, and celebrate more than 200 local charities. So help amplify the good in our region. Visit givemore24.org today and find a nonprofit to support on September 23rd.
Welcome back to Authenticity Matters on KXRW 99.9 FM and X-Ray 107.1 FM. I'm your host, Jen Coyne. I've been getting inspired by this conversation with Evelyn Magley. Up next in our conversation, we're going to talk about finding purpose and meaning to inspire doing things that really make a positive difference in the world. We're going to get into some deep feelings about our obligations to our ancestors. As a content warning, we will briefly discuss the experience of enslaved people. I can tell you have a growth mindset, though, right? You're ready to learn and to navigate. And that's very kindred spirit kind of thing for me, because I'm just like, I don't know what I'm getting into. My business partner's motto is ask why not? Like, why not try it? Right. So we sometimes are like, sure, we'll try that. And, you know, we don't know how we're going to get there, but
yeah, you know, it's kind of like faith. I mean, you know where you think you're going, but you don't know how the decisions you're making each day are going to get you there. And it's not until you look backwards that you can look forward to see where you've been and where you're going. And every day you're challenged to meet something that you may not have an answer for right then.
Right.
You gotta figure it out. So yeah, you just go forward, because what you're doing right now is going to impact lives.
Mm-hmm.
The calling that you have, you know, it may not be with basketball, but there's something deep down inside of you that you're answering a call that you feel there is a need.
Yeah.
So you do that, you're going to be very uncomfortable.
That's right.
There's so many people that they're making money. Oh, they're making money. But they know in their heart, this is not where I'm supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
And they have that void where they're like, this is not what I want to do. I'm making up, but I'm not happy.
Yeah. So
you have to, for me, make that connection with my creator and say, okay, where is it that you want me to be? Because never in a million years would I ever thought I would be here.
Right. Well, I don't totally believe you about that, because number one, you told me that when people tell you you can't do something, you do it. And also, y'all, I see behind her that she has a pillow that says dream big.
Yes.
In what I'm seeing right now. And so I think there's a confidence in yourself that you have had. I think what I'm interpreting from your earliest years, where you said, no, I can do this.
Yeah, I think for me, it's just really not necessarily trusting in myself, but trusting in God.
Mm-hmm.
Because with him, all things are possible. And see, this gets really deep. See, you're taking me there, Jennifer. You're taking me to a deep place that most
people love it
to hear. But you see, you have to look beyond looking at me and my gray hair and this brown skin to understand who I am. Because years and years and years ago, there were people that were put on ships that didn't know where they were going. That some jumped off into the water with babies in their arms, terrified, not understanding where they're going. People that had ropes put around their necks, saw their loved ones taken from them, and all types of things done. Guess what? I made it.
Mm.
I'm one that made it.
Mm.
So looking back at what my forefathers went through, what I'm doing right now is really nothing.
Mm.
But also knowing that I made it for this time, this space and time, to do what it is that I've been placed on this earth to do. So I made it this far. I'm one of those that made it for this time to get it done. So nobody can stand in my way.
Yeah.
Not my counselor at school, not haters, not anybody else that has a word to say about me because of the color of my skin or this gray hair or the fact I'm a woman. Because I was created for this moment in time and can't nobody stop it.
Yeah.
And I have to think that way because there are those that died for me to be here.
Yeah.
That had a call and a purpose on their lives. So I would recommend anybody, yourself, for whatever you've been through or your forefathers, you're here and you made it. So let's do something with our lives to help others.
Yeah.
That's what it's all about.
I love it. I'm inspired.
That's what it's all about. You know, people are like, "Whoa, you did, you don't have this." And I could sit around and woe is me, but man, for crying out loud, look at what people went through.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm here. Come on.
Yeah.
So what somebody thinks about me, whether they think, oh, she, you know, my daughter told me, she said, "Mom, one of the most Googled thing on you is your worth, your net worth." I'm like, are you kidding me? What's your net worth? I'm like, it's not about a net worth. It's about what I'm doing with my life.
Totally.
You cannot put a dollar amount on that when you're impacting lives. When I've helped someone to be able to fulfill a dream, to be able to get on a court, play the sport that they love, be able to provide for their family, have an ability to be able to learn financial literacy, to be able to go across the seas and play in another country, to be able to travel, to be able to build something that will have a legacy for their family in years and years to come, to change people's lives for generations to come just by seeing them as being a whole person.
Mm-hmm.
Telling them and showing them that they are. That's what it's about.
Yep.
More than about basketball. That's why we're a different league. This is not just about winning a trophy at the end of the year. Oh, we won a trophy. We're the champions. Well, great. But here's the real trophy. How many young men did you help?
Mm-hmm.
How many young men did you help see who they are? What they can do with their lives? How they can impact their community?
Absolutely.
Don't get me going, Jennifer. You got me going.
Got you going. So if you have a few more minutes, I would love to hear more about the league. Tell me, like, how big is the league? What are your plans for it in the next season?
Well, we started off with 8, went to 10 to 12. And then during the pandemic, we grew to 29 teams. We now have 45 plus teams across the United States.
Incredible.
And our goal is to continue to grow and move according to what we're led to do. And right now that looks like we'll have a junior TBL, which will be junior teams that are affiliates or part of each team that's in each community. We'll have junior TBL youth clinics and junior TBL plays that we can reach out to the community and help these young people to develop their skills so that they can get scholarships and just play intramural and just enjoy the game. It looks like in the future, we would like to have enough teams that we will help our teams to be able to travel to save on expenses and they're traveling so that they don't have overnight so they can travel and have a game in one day and come back. This will also help them with their profitability. It looks as though TBL could have WTBL.
Nice.
Yeah. There's no G League for WNBA. Where do the
That's
young
true.
Ladies
yeah.
that don't make the WNBA? Do they just stop with their hopes and dreams?
Mm-hmm.
So this is something that we're looking at implementing in the near future. TBL, I see TBL is developing a nonprofit arm so that we're able to go out and be able to do more things with more corporations, et cetera, to be able to give back into the community. And I also see our teams growing in each community that allows more streams of income to come into that community. Mm-hmm. Yeah, TBL, I see it as growing, our footprint being larger than the NBA, but never ever really being the NBA, because we're really not in a conflict of interest, because our philosophy, what we do, is totally different than mm-hmm. the NBA. I love the NBA. I love for the fact that our players will have that as a goal and a dream to play in the NBA. But we're not in conflict in any manner with them, because what we do differently.
You're actually, you know, serving a need, filling a void. And there's just so much. There are a lot of subtle things too that you have done. One thing that made a mark on me was hearing that you call them team market owners instead mm-hmm. of team owners. And like,
yes, there's a reason for that, Jennifer. When back in 2018, when we had our first meeting, and before George Floyd, I stood in front of everybody, and I remember the looks on their faces. They're like, oh my goodness, she is really out there, you know. I said, we are not going to be called team owners. This is not slavery.
Yeah, you don't own people, you own a region.
You own the market. Mm-hmm. You don't own the players. And I remember them looking at me like, what is, you know, and I said, so we're going to start off. We're going to be called team market owners. And you don't ever have to deal with that. You don't have to deal with players looking at you like you're some slave owner or something. Mm-hmm. The whole thought just gave me the willies. And I thought, let's change that. And that's to give them respect as players. And to give that community respect.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's so the thing about change and eliminating systemic racism, as an example, is that a lot of folks look at really, you know, overt thing, all these like big things that happen, right? Police brutality, things like that. But it's little insidious things like master bedroom.
You're going exactly where I was going. Like master bedroom.
Well, I mean, I'm a real estate nerd, right? And like it was recently that, you know, probably in the last couple of years, I went, oh, yeah, that is bad. But what? Like we just say it reflexively, don't think about it.
It's the master bedroom. Like it's mm-hmm. the master's bedroom.
Yeah. And so I think there's so much work that all of us can do when you think that like, oh, I can't, you know, eliminate how police, you know, are treating people poorly or in a biased way, but like you can change little things as well. Like everyone has power to make this better. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I love and admire about what you're doing is acknowledging the players as these whole people and providing holistic opportunities for them, recognizing that, you know, folks' careers have a certain shelf life, like they only last a certain length of time, and that they can walk away with some security and, right. and stability and a path to that they don't lose their identity when they quit playing professional basketball.
Right. And those are some of the things we're teaching them is, you know, even when you're at a game and a game is over, you don't put your headphones on, bop out of the gym with your bag over your head, you know, just walking out. You need to engage with the fan base. You need to see who's out there, who's coming to your games, connect with that community, make connections. These are individuals that are your future investors that you may be investing in, that you will want to get to know because you're going to do business together. It's not just on the court. It is your life. Just making that connection important. Having them to understand, like even through classes like our financial literacy, understanding how to invest. You've got 75% of all Americans, believe it or not, at some point are financially illiterate. Mm-hmm. They're not teaching financial literacy in school any longer. And so how do you know how to navigate through a system if you don't understand the system?
Yeah.
If you don't understand, if you've never even been in a bank. I could have players that you give them a check and they'll go to a check cashing place and pay money, interest on the dollar, 15, 20% to cash a check, when they could go take that Chase bank check and go straight to Chase and either open an account or cash it there. Mm-hmm. Why are you going to check cashing? Why are you buying money orders to pay your utilities with? Why are you buying? Why are you using those? These are all adding up. Why are you doing that? Well, maybe it's because that's what I saw. Maybe I didn't, you know, and so it is taking opportunities and giving them a possibilities of being seen in over 145 countries.
Right.
Where people can now see them on the court live. It's not a highlight film. They can see your attitude on the court and when you walk off and sit down and when you miss the last five baskets. They want to invest in bringing you to their country to start to see who you are on the court, off the court. And I am someone and I am basically my own brand. Jen, we have a program that allows these young men to be able to gain percentages of money from every jersey that has their name on it.
Nice.
That's through Infinite Apparel, who is Chris Allison is the founder of that company that we get our uniforms through. It's a beautiful program that pays into these young men because we see them as being individuals and their likeness, they need to get paid for that.
Yeah.
And so it's different. It's a different way of thinking. We're a different league. And there are so many other things that we also do to help seed into their lives. But those are just a few.
That's amazing. Connection to the community is really important. Let's talk for a minute about the local scene. So one of those 48 teams, I think you mentioned. Is it how many?
45
and growing. Yeah. So recently announced the new incarnation of the Vancouver Volcanoes. I love the name and the logo and everything. They're going to be playing, I believe, at Clark College. And when does the next season start?
Next season will start in March. We moved back some because we wanted to come out of the summer. Because some of the venues, as you get up into Michigan and Indiana, don't have air conditioning.
Right.
It gets hot real quick. So we moved it back to March. We're going to go to schedule in October.
Okay. Well, I appreciate all of the time. I appreciate you digging deep and being real and authentic. It's delightful. And yeah, I'm really excited. I'm just across the river from where they're going to be playing. And so I'm excited to check out some games coming up. So
well, I believe they're going to be a team to really be reckoned with because Curtis Hill is not playing. He is very focused and very serious about the community there, and he is working diligently. He brought a whole crew out to TBL Summer League, and they were really amazing. Just good people.
Yeah.
Really good people. That their hearts are in the right place. They love their community and they're excited about having that team there. And I can barely wait to get up there to see you all.
Yeah. You have to let me know if you're going to be in town. Absolutely. Evelyn, thank you so much for spending time with me. It's been wonderful. And everyone check out the Basketball League. Vancouver Volcanoes is on Instagram and Facebook. So, you know, follow those pages and be on the lookout for the schedule coming up and, you know, check out the games.
I want to say thank you to you, Jen, because, man, you're good.
Thank you.
Wow, she's about really, I'm talking about being authentic. You were like pulling it out of me. It's like, it's time to win.
I want to express my gratitude to Evelyn Magley for all the time she spent with me, her candor, and her inspirational perspective. It's great to see someone so committed to being authentic, doing what she loves, and giving so much to our communities. Speaking of community, before we close the show, let's hear once more from the sponsors that make this community radio possible. You're listening to Authenticity Matters on KXRW 99.9 FM.
A big thank you to Vancouver's own Kiggins Theatre for supporting our radio community. Our historic Kiggins Theatre has a long tradition of showing movies for our community, 85 years. Kiggins currently features first-run big studio and art house films along with classic movie revival. Check out their live events and you can even book the theatre for a private party or public event. Go to KigginsTheatre.com to see how you can rediscover the joy of going out for movie night again. Showtimes, booking information, and more at KigginsTheatre.com.
Join me next time to hear more authenticity journeys on Authenticity Matters. This is KXRW 99.9 FM.